Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
And welcome to the St. Patrick's Day version of Fritz and Friends, 1320 WILS, and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. I'm Cheryl Fritz along with Scott Eckersley. Happy to have joined me in the studio this evening, Lance Enderle, who is, I'll call you a citizen organizer. That's kind of my label for you. I know you don't like labels, Lance. Welcome back to the studio.
Hey, thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate being here.
You have been in the middle of all the activities going on at the Capitol for the last several weeks, but the last couple of days in particular have been awfully interesting for you. Give us a perspective of being there and what you saw and heard and what you liked and maybe what you didn't.
All in all, it was a great 2 days. I mean, the Capitol came to life. Democracy was live and active, which I have not seen that in my lifetime in the Capitol, and I've grown up in Lansing, you know. And just the energy that was there, people from all walks of life, it wasn't just party people, union people, it was everybody. And just to hear, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are dissatisfied with what has happened the last week within our state house, Senate, and now the governor signing the bills late last night in the cloak of darkness.
And we're talking about the emergency financial managers bill. And is the other one the item pricing?
Well, not so much that. My main focus, you know, with the governor is number one, the EFM bill, and then his budget proposals. That's just – his budget's just setting up the state for failure. I mean, it doesn't take – anybody who doesn't understand logic can see this. You're going to force many communities into bankruptcy or into these new triggers that they put out there. And what's kind of disturbing is that they already had an act in place to do this. They already had an emergency financial management bill that was agreed on by both parties for the most part, very protective of our individual rights. It didn't take away our right to our elected officials, which we all vote. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of Republican county commissioners out there throughout the state and in city governments that they're going to lose their jobs. Your Republican voices, your Democratic voices, they're going to be taken away from you and put in place with these emergency financial managers. Because again, the state's broke. We're giving corporations a $1.8 billion tax break, and giving a $1.2 billion tax increase to our senior citizens and working class people, which is about 95% of the population in Michigan. What are we going to do with that that 0.6 difference or 0.2 difference that we've gotten, you know, revenue? We're already unbalanced there, Governor Snyder, and now you're. And this is money, again, that's supposed to go to our municipalities. That's what we pay for. That's why, you know, we look at our streets and we wonder why they're dilapidated and falling apart. It's because we don't invest in our infrastructure. We're trying to cut these tax dollars, which are so crucial, to invest in our communities. And right now we're going to see those ramifications of what happens.
One of the big issues that we've heard about the EFM, Emergency Financial Managers Bill, is the removal of collective bargaining. So that's what we were hearing a lot of loud voices about.
That was a main – it's not the removal of collective bargaining. That's the funny thing. Collective bargaining, in a sense, has been destroyed by public employees and pretty much all unionized employees since Ronald Reagan, you know, fired the air traffic controllers. That pretty much said striking isn't legal in this country. You can't stand up for your rights as workers or people or citizens. Protesting's bad. Then you look what John Engler did in the state of Michigan. He took away the rights of the public employees, i.e. the school teachers, to strike and the police and fire departments. Collective bargaining's bigger than what people generally think it is. A lot of it has to do with our health and welfare and our safety of our communities. I know as a teacher, a lot of things we negotiate for, it isn't pay. We were pretty much granted a 3% increase, but that contract's good for generally 5 years, 3 to 5 years. So the cost of living may go way past whatever's exceeded. But what we negotiate for is class size, things that benefit your children. We collective bargain for safer schools. more money to come in so we can buy technology and the cutting edge things that allow us to educate children properly. But we don't get that. You look at with police and fire, it's not always about pay. Think about this. When those firefighters went into that building on 9/11 in New York City, they didn't have the required equipment. Why? Because the city didn't pay for it, because they didn't get it bargained into their contracts. The city X'd it out.
When we talk about there are so many conversations you and I could have, Lance, trying to stick with the EFM bill right now. What about those who say that it's a way to designed to help state officials head off financial crises in the first place, rather than wait around for school boards or municipalities to go into bankruptcy?
Since I know I'm not on 7-second delay, I'll just cut it short. BS. It's a BS statement. It's setting them up to go into financial difficulty.
How is that? How is it setting them up to go into financial
difficulty? Because let's go back. There's already a law that was in place. I want to say it was Public Act 312. I could be off with the numbers because I've, bill numbers, and if I don't have the information in front of me.
Sure.
But that pretty much set it up. The municipalities or school districts had to go into bankruptcy already, which that happens. It happened with the Detroit Public Schools. Now tell me what's fiscally responsible about this. Why are we paying this Bob guy or Rob guy $425,000 to essentially be the superintendent of the Detroit Public Schools? I can guarantee you that the superintendent of the Detroit Public Schools wasn't making $425,000. That's ludicrous. And you know who's paying for that? You, myself, and everybody out there. And one of the things that I found really, I tell you what, I'm ashamed of Brian Calley, our lieutenant governor. Ashamed. And he should be ashamed of himself, especially if he calls himself a fiscal conservative. I watched the vote for the amendments. Granted, a lot of the amendments that were going through the Senate on this EFM bill. Okay, you can pick and choose whatever. I'll concede, whatever, all this stuff. What I won't concede is democracy and fiscal conservancy. And as a taxpayer, when I hear this amendment to cap the pay of these emergency financial managers at $159,000, that of the governor, and five Republicans, God bless those Republicans, for doing the right thing, brought on a 1919 tie vote, and it was broken by Brian Calley to not take that amendment. So we can pay these people ungodly money. And that gets really scary, because now we're talking about firms and whatnot, and let's be realistic, political favors come out of this. So are we going to see Amway pop up as our new firm that's monitoring the western end of the state, or Dow Chemical on the other? Or better yet, let's get real scary. Think about this. With this elimination of all this stuff, one of the things that's been on the Republican agenda since John Engler was governor, and I will say this, and I'll stand by it, was to eliminate the Michigan State Police. They have one of the most liquid retirement funds in the state. They want that money. They've wanted that money for the general fund for years. What's the easiest way to do it? Put a pinch on the state police. We don't need them. We'll privatize them. If there's an emergency financial situation, what's to stop them from doing it? Doesn't say it in the legislation. Mm-hmm. And they've all been about privatization. Everything that comes out of the Republicans' mouth is privatization, privatization, privatization.
Well, what is the answer then?
What is the answer?
I'm not talking specifically. But we have to balance a budget, Lance. The budget.
You aren't lying. There's a lot of things that have to be cut out. But realistically, we've got to increase our tax structure. I'll say the statement that I'm going to give you a little analogy to go with it. We have to tax and spend. It's not one of those things. You have to bring it in, but you have to spend fiscally conservatively. You don't spend for things, like I said, $425,000 for a guy who has no background in education to run the Detroit Public Schools. That makes no sense. And it's going to happen in Lansing. It's going to happen in Ingham County. Think about this, Ingham County residents. Your sheriff's department is in an emergency financial situation. They don't have a manager yet, but your road patrols keep getting cut. That's one of the breakers. So as soon as that goes into place, now Ingham County can be replaced. So all your county commissioners, all your elected officials, everybody's gone. Everybody's gone. What's to say that doesn't happen in Clinton County? What's to say it doesn't happen elsewhere? Because all it needs is one significant trigger. Like was pointed out by a few people, it's only one account, one thing, whereas before it was the whole enchilada. Now with this emergency financial manager bill, these triggers, as the Republicans like to refer to them, which I laugh about, because triggers, that's plural, whereas before it was one. Now it's like if they fall below a certain level in their credit score, they can fall under it. If this happens, you know, if A becomes Z, then this happens. If this account falls below that, then they fall under it. It makes no sense. What we need to do is we realistically need to tax. Our taxes are lower than they've ever been in this country. And it shows. Drive down your road. My roads were great when I was a kid growing up because we paid taxes. Our public schools were great. Why? Because we paid taxes.
Well, there are some that say that the new EFM legislation will hold the local officials more accountable because they'll know what's coming. If I don't get this in order, if I don't get my house in order, someone's going to have to come in and get it in order for me. And I know we only have about a minute left.
I'll totally agree. I mean, you won't get any concession. That's what the first bill did. It made sure that you got things in order. You got there. If you went bankrupt, then you got the thing. But how do you do it when you take over, regardless if you're taking over for a Republican or a Democrat establishment in the municipality? If they financially ruined it, how do you bring it back in 2 years? You can blow up a building in 5 seconds. It's going to take you at least 6 months to a year to rebuild it. So let's do that on a grander scale. You destroy the economy for 4 years, 8 years. It's going to take you twice as long to repair it. That's why people need to give Obama a little slack here. He's dealing with 8 years of stupid to fix.
Well, this subject certainly isn't over. Things were calm at the Capitol today and quiet.
Very calm and quiet. And I want to say to Captain Nix and the Michigan State Police, thank you very much. You guys did an outstanding job. You know the people that were there for you because your voice has been silenced. You've got a job to do. We respect that 150%. We thank you for giving me a lot of time. There was unity there. I mean, they weren't forceful. Anything.
And I watched tape of that. And
our fight was
yeah.
Their fight. I mean, we had a long conversation, Captain Nix and I did. And basically, I was there for them. They can't speak out. They've got a job to do. But realistically, they're one of the first organizations within our state that's on the chopping block. And what scares me the most is who's going to take over then? Blackwater?
Yeah. Well, Lance, as always, it's my pleasure to have you on here because I love to get all sides of every story if I can.
Well, thank you. I love coming in here.
I appreciate you coming in person, in fact, to talk to me about this, and I'm certain we'll talk in the near future.
Oh, I thank you. Thank you. Anytime.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to your listeners.
And to you as well.
Thank you.
Lance Enderle, we'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.